open your Bibles with me today to the book of Ephesians once again. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's look at this passage. We looked at it a few moments last week. Let's get back into it together today. Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read verses 10 through 17 together. We good? All right. The Apostle Paul, remember that Paul is writing from a Roman prison. He's been arrested for preaching Christ. And he writes back now to this church in the ancient city of Ephesus. Ephesus was a seaport city on the Mediterranean coast of what we call today modern-day Turkey. And it was a great place for people crossing from Europe and into Asia and back and forth, and a great city of commerce. And Paul had started the church there. And what a great idea to start a church where people are coming and going constantly. Because as you win these people who are coming and going, you're just sending the gospel throughout the known world there. And so he is very encouraged by the faith of these people, and he writes to them to strengthen that faith and establish them in the Lord. And he reminds them of something that you and I need to hear, and this is the message today. He reminds them about the goings-on of the realm of the Spirit. And that's what I want to talk with you about today. Let's read the passage from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord. Now, he's given them all these instructions on how they're to live their lives day to day, and all these kinds of things, relationships and everything, how are you to live the Christian life. And he says, now, the way you're going to do this, guys, is you're going to have to press into God. You're going to have to draw close to the Lord and draw from His strength, because that's what it's going to take to win this battle and to live right. So he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Verse 12, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. And I take that to mean he's already talked about the devil. We'll talk about this in just a little bit. But he's talking about the devil, and he's talking about the minions of hell and of Satan who had fallen with Satan in his rebellion against God. And I believe all of these phrases in verse 12 speak to those fallen evil spirits, whether he calls them rulers, powers, world forces, spiritual forces of wickedness. All of these are references to demonic powers that are at work in the heavenly realms. He says in verse 13, therefore take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day. Now it's interesting there that he says resist in the evil day, because in the previous chapter he will say every day is an evil day. Every day is an opportunity for evil. Okay? So don't get the idea that when he says resist in the evil day that this is talking about maybe one day in the future. Certainly we know there's going to be evil in the future. But the truth of the matter is every day has potential for evil and demonic attack against us every day of our lives. And we need to be aware of it, and we need to be ready of it. And that's why Paul's speaking to it. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. Take your stand against evil. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, I trust this morning our time of Bible study will be fruitful for all of us as you, by the Word and by your Spirit's illumination of the Word, you refresh us this morning in our faith and in our spiritual journey. Draw us close to yourself. Open the eyes of our understanding. Help us to know truth that will set us free and bring your victory. We thank you for it in Christ's name. Amen and amen. In our Wednesday night Bible study, we have been talking for the last several weeks, as I mentioned a little while ago, We have been talking about the book of Job from the Old Testament, looking at the life of this man, Job, who endured a great deal of suffering. The Bible tells us God's own testimony of Job is that Job was a righteous man, a man of integrity, a man who loved God, who feared God, a man who turned away from evil, a man who was abundantly blessed in his day and time. Back in those days, prosperity wasn't measured so much in silver and gold as it was in livestock and servants and children and all of these kinds of things. And Job had it all, okay? He had 8 or 10 children. He had sheep and goats and camel and all of these things. He had many servants. Job is described in the first chapter of Job as the greatest man in the East. And the word great there implies the blessing and prosperity that he had experienced. He was a mighty man because of all that he owned. And yet, Job lost virtually everything. Okay? He lost his children. They all died. All of his servants all died. All of his livestock that was the measure of his wealth, it was all taken. He lost everything. And then in the second chapter, he loses his health. The Bible describes him as covered in oozing boils and sitting in a pile of ash and scraping himself with a piece of clay pot in order to get some remedy from the itching and the pain that he's suffering there. This is a man who endured great suffering for probably a number of months, and he lost everything. Now, the interesting thing to me is that in the book of Job, Job doesn't know why all this is happening. In fact, as I read the book of Job, he never really does find out why it all happens. But through it all, he keeps his trust in the Lord. He keeps his hope in God. He refuses to turn his back on God. He refuses to curse the Lord. Okay? So he endures all of the suffering. But one of the things that jumps out at me in the book of Job, and it's something that I'm sharing this because I relate it here to Ephesians chapter 6 and what Paul is doing. The book of Job, while Job doesn't know why he's going through what he's going through, you and I who read the book of Job, we do know why he's going through what he's going through. Because the writer of the book of Job pulls back a veil, if you will, and allows us to look into the realm of the spirit behind the scenes of what's happening in the natural realm so that we can see what instigated all of this calamity in Job's life and how it began in the realm of the spirit. And we find out when we read the book of Job that actually Satan is the one who is behind all of this torment, all of the trials, all the struggles, all the loss that Job experiences. We are able to see that. Job was not. He did not recognize that. But what the book does say to me is this. It allows us to see, and this is what I want you to see today. This is what I want us to see today. This is what I believe Paul wants us to see from the book of Ephesians. He wants us first and foremost to see, recognize, and understand, hear this, the reality of the realm of the Spirit. Now listen, we give lip service to that a lot of times in life. In church, maybe we hear about that and we think about it in church. But let's just be real honest. Most of the time when we're out there in the world and we're living our life day to day, we're not always spiritually aware of what's going on around us. It's sort of like, you know, the old saying, out of sight, out of mind. And Job reveals to us the reality of the spiritual realm and where the true source of suffering and turmoil is. And it comes in the form of Satan, of the devil, as he stirs things up against our lives. And I believe Paul wants us to see exactly the same thing in this passage of Scripture. After teaching us how to live the Christian life, he goes on to say, now look guys, he says, I want you to live this way, but understand there are going to be some spiritual forces at work in your life to try to prevent you from doing the right thing. And you need to be aware of it. You need to be on guard for it. You need to be looking out for it so that you recognize it when it comes, so that you can defend yourself and be an overcomer in the Lord. We need to be reminded regularly of the reality of the spiritual realm. Again, one of the best ways that I know that we don't think of the spiritual realm all the time is this. When bad things happen, when tragedies happen, when calamity breaks out, most of us immediately begin to ask the question, why? Why did this happen? Why did this have to happen? Why did it have to happen to this person? How come this went on? And we're asking all of these questions, and we've forgotten about what the Bible teaches us about where evil comes from. We have forgotten about the spiritual realm and the forces of darkness that are arrayed against us in order to steal, kill, and destroy where our lives, the things that are going on in our lives and where our lives are concerned. And so this morning I want to talk just for just a little bit about the realm of the spirit and remind ourselves of the reality of the spiritual realm. Because what Job teaches us, what Ephesians teaches us, is there, number one, there is this realm of the spirit. But in addition to that, there is a relationship and a connection between the spiritual realm and the natural realm. And the forces that are working in the realm of the spirit are working, God on his part working for us in the natural, the devil and the demons of hell working against us in the natural to try to destroy our lives. And we see, again from the book of Job, we see how spiritual forces cause natural calamity. Okay? And we can look at the book of Job, and we could probably look at the book of Job and see the death of his children and the servants, the stealing of all of his livestock. We could probably look at all of those situations and come up with a natural explanation as to why it all happened. But the fact of the matter is, the Bible tells us that the real reason for why it all happened was spiritual in nature. And we need to recognize that. We need to understand that there is a spiritual realm, and there are forces in that spiritual realm that are working either for us or against us. And depending on which one we collaborate with or which one we allow to have its way in our lives, those are the kinds of things we wind up experiencing. Every moment of every day, forces in the spiritual realm are moving to affect, to influence our natural world and lives, moving to inspire us to make choices of right or wrong, make choices of good or evil, and often actually orchestrating the circumstances of life, the natural realm and circumstances that we go through. King David would pray this. King David wanted to build the temple of the Lord, if you remember the story in the Old Testament. God says, no, I don't want you to build the temple, but I'll let you take the offering. And so David calls for the people of Israel, and he says, we need silver, we need gold, bring your jewelry, bring your earrings, bring anything you got. We need to collect money in order to build the temple. And the people of Israel just gave extravagantly. They just gave just unbelievable. Millions, probably billions of dollars worth of silver and gold was given. David then goes to the Lord and he prays. Now watch this. First of all, the Bible says he gave thanks to the Lord. Well, that tells us right there that there was a spiritual force working behind the scenes that enabled these people, first of all, to have what they had to give, and then to have the will to give what they gave. So we see right there that the spiritual forces of God of good are working through these people to enable them to do what they did. And David prays the prayer and he says, God, he says, you have enabled us to give what we've given. For who are we that you have entrusted us with so much? For from your hand we have everything that we have. You see? So he recognizes that God was behind all of this. He was the one who had enabled them to have what they had. He was the one who inspired them to give what they gave. Spiritual forces working behind the scenes affecting the natural world and the natural realm. And I tell you, God does this, guys, and God does this every day, and he does this in our lives. And again, we can look at natural circumstances and we can probably come up with a natural explanation as to why things happen in our lives. But the Bible implies that there's something spiritual behind what's going on in our life. And I just share with you a couple of examples. Just in our week, this past week, how God has provided for us in ways that were completely unexpected. Now, again, you can look at these circumstances and you can say, well, yeah, but that was just because of this. That was just because of that. And you can come up with natural explanations for the things that happen. But I'm just trying to tell you, I believe even what looks like the natural, I believe God's in it, okay? And you might say, well, it was just a coincidence. Well, it was just luck. And I just want to tell you, where you see luck and coincidence, I see the hand of God, okay? Becky's computer, she's had a laptop for about 5 years, and it finally just went kaput like they do, you know, and it was out a week or so ago. No, it's been almost 3 weeks ago now. So she went down to Best Buy. She decided she was going to get a new computer. She got her a Mac. She never had a Mac before. She wanted to go the Mac route. She got a Mac, brought it home. She'd been learning how to use it. We've had it for 17 days, okay? Yesterday, she's researching something else. She goes online. She sees that her computer, the very computer that she bought, is on sale for $300 less than what she paid for it 17 days ago. Now, Best Buy has a policy that says this. When you buy something, you can keep it for 15 days. And if you don't like it, you can bring it back and get your money back. We've had it for 17 days. She begins to look a little further on the Best Buy website and finds out that because of the computer that she's bought, because of what she has spent, she actually qualifies for an elite service, which says not 15 days, you get 30 days. You can bring your computer back. She calls the manager of the store. He says, bring me your receipt and we'll credit your card $300. Now you might look at that and say, coincidence. I look at that and see the hand of God. I see the hand of God. Okay? I'll tell you another situation. I can't go into a lot of detail here. I got a letter in the mail Friday, but from FedEx. And this was a situation that began 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago. And I thought had been completely resolved at least 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, it was done, it was wrapped up, it was put to bed, it was over, okay? Several years ago, I got a letter in the mail Friday. I opened it up, and this lawyer writes, and he says, we have looked into this case further and have decided that you qualify for more benefits. Expect a check. And so we're looking at a check for another $600 or $700 coming in the mail. We had no idea. Now you might say, well, that's just good luck, brother. Well, hallelujah for good luck. See, I see the hand of God. I see the hand of God. And 2 or 3 days there, all of a sudden, we're $1,000 richer. We didn't do anything. See? I just see the hand of God in that. Now understand that, the enemy's working too. The enemy's working too. Yesterday, we had a new roof put on our house. Our old roof is about 25 years old. Shingles are starting to blow off. So we had to get a new roof put on our house. And so the roofers were over there Friday and Saturday, taking the old one off, putting the new one on. Yesterday morning, I'm standing in the kitchen, I'm talking to Becky, and out of the corner of my eye, there's a window, kitchen window there next to, in front of our deck. I'm in the kitchen, and I'm talking to Becky, and out of the corner of my eye, I see something flash by that window, and something goes boom on the back deck. Well, now they've been tossing around, you know, bundles of shingle for a couple of days, but this was heavier than a bundle of shingles. And I thought, what in the world was that? I look out the window to see one of the roofers standing up on my deck. He had fallen off the roof. They had the security ropes and all of these things were up there, and he was moving around up there putting the shingles up. He didn't realize that his partner had not secured the other end of that safety rope. And when he leaned too far, he literally fell off my roof. Now, fortunately, he only fell about 8 feet, and he landed on the deck there. And he, you know, I went outside to see what's, if it's all right. By the time I got outside, he's standing up. I said, "You okay?" "Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm okay. You know. And he went back up on the roof and he finished the job. But listen, listen. It was about an 8 foot fall where he fell off the corner of my roof. Had he been at the other end of my house, the fall would have been about 20 feet. It would have been into a concrete stairwell, and no doubt he never would have gotten up. Now, I'm just telling you, I just believe there's spiritual forces at work and the things that are going on in life. And, you know, the devil means evil against us. But I believe God saw to it that that man fell where he fell and was not hurt even though he fell. I just see the hand of God in that. I believe that there are spiritual forces at work and doing things that affect us in the natural realm. So I want to take just a few moments this morning to just talk about the spiritual realm with you. And just let's just bring ourselves up to speed and remind ourselves of the reality of the realm of the Spirit and how the spiritual realm affects and influences and inspires the things that take place in the natural realm, the natural world that we live in. All right? Just beyond, here's what I'm trying to say to you. Just beyond our natural field of vision lies a whole nother world of existence, a spiritual world, a spiritual realm. The Bible refers to it as the heavenly realm. And it's just beyond our sight where we can see it. And the Bible tells us that in that realm are spiritual beings. First of all, we know there's God. There's the creator of all things, the creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God. The Bible teaches us that in that spiritual world, in that spiritual realm, there are angels that are in that realm. And these are beings that were created by God before the creation that we know. They were worshipers of the Lord, servants of the Lord. They now tell us, the Bible tells us, that they actually serve us from the spiritual realm. At the bidding of God, they serve us. Now, we read the Bible and we read about stories in the Bible and see the examples of angels and their ministry of bringing messages. We see the angel Gabriel comes to Mary. Everybody knows the Christmas story, how the angel Gabriel comes to Mary and announces to her that she has been chosen to be the one who will bear the Messiah of God. And there's just so many stories in the Bible. One of my favorite stories of angels in the Bible is the story of the Apostle Peter, who was arrested by Herod for preaching the gospel. And Herod's intent is to kill Peter, to make him a martyr. And the Bible says the night before he was to be killed, Peter is asleep in jail. And an angel was sent by God to Peter to set him free from that jail. The angel wakes Peter up. And supernaturally, the chains fall off of his hands and feet. He says, "Peter, get up, get dressed." And Peter gets dressed and he says, "Peter, now follow me." And the Bible says that as Peter and the angel walked through the prison, that the doors just opened up supernaturally in front of them. And the prison doors opened up. And they were out in the street of the city before Peter even realized what was happening was real. Peter thought it was just a dream or just a vision or something like that. For there he was standing in the street, and the angel had come, and the angel had set him free. The angel had ministered to him. So the Bible tells us about angels that are in that spiritual realm. And let me just, because my time's going to run out, and we're going to have to do this next week too. There's just some things about angels that I just want to say. I believe in angels. I've never seen an angel. I know a lot of people say they've seen angels. That's between them and the angel. That's between them and God. I will say this. And this is just my opinion. I don't believe that people have casual relationships with angels the way a lot of preachers and people will indicate that they do. You know, have them in for tea or whatever and that kind of thing. I don't really think they have. To me, when I read the Bible, visions and manifestations and angelic appearances and all of these kinds of things, they all happen in the context of very unique and very special circumstances. And it just seems to me that special circumstances require special manifestations. And so God does something special on those. believe that angels are real. And the Bible says this in the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 2. The Bible says that we need to be careful and always show hospitality to strangers, because in so doing, the Bible says, we may actually be entertaining angels without knowing it. So, be hospitable, because you don't know who's at your door. All right? But then Paul goes on to talk about other beings back in over in Ephesians chapter 6. Paul talks about other beings in the spiritual realm. In verses 11 and 12, he talks about the devil, and then he talks about the rulers and the powers and all of these things. And I've already identified these as I believe, as I see them, these are demonic spirits. When we look at scriptures from Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation, we can paint a picture of a spiritual war in heaven between Lucifer and God. The Bible tells us that Lucifer was actually an archangel who possibly was even a leader of the worship of God in heaven, but decided that he was going to exalt himself as though he were equal to God. And he said, I will ascend to the heights. I will ascend and exalt my throne to the throne of God. I will make myself like the Most High. And in his attempt to exalt himself to equality with God, he was cast out of heaven because of that. And the Bible again implies that a third of the angels fell with him. And from that, we discern that that all of these mentions in Ephesians 6 and verse 11 are the, verse 11 and 12, are the fallen angels who fell with Lucifer. These are the devil and the demons of hell. Now, let me do this. Look over at 2 Kings chapter 6 with me. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let me make a point this morning. We talked about the reality of the realm of the Spirit, and how the realm of the Spirit is with us now. It is here now, but it is simply just beyond our ability to see it. But even though we can't see it, it is there, and the inhabitants of it are there. They are here. They are around us now. We simply cannot see it from this perspective. And there's a story here in 2 Kings chapter 6 that helps to make that point, I believe, in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Now, let me just give you a little background so you understand what's happening in this passage of Scripture. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Israel is at war with a neighboring nation. My translation calls them Aram and the Arameans. Your Bible may actually use the word Syrians. That kind of helps us to understand a little bit about who is Israel's at war with Syria. Kind of like the newspaper, isn't it? And so there's a war going on between Syria and Israel. Now the Syrian king makes his plans of attack against Israel. He does so secretly. Okay, he gets his cabinet together. They make their plans. Plans for a secret attack against the nation of Israel. But every time they launch their attack, they find the Israeli army, Israelite army, I guess back in those days, the Israelite army is waiting for them. Okay? And the king is frustrated and a little more than upset and comes to believe there must be a spy in my cabinet. Because every time I launch an attack against Israel, I plan it secretly, and yet they always know what I'm up to. And so he gathers his cabinet together and he says, you know, we need to find who the spy is among us. And one of his men speaks up and says, King, that there's no spy here, but here's what's happening. There's no spy here, but there is a prophet in Israel. And everything that you plan in secret, the prophet declares publicly. In other words, he says, everything that you're doing in secret, God knows. And he tells the prophet and he tells the king, and that's why Israel is always ready. Rabbit trail. Everything you're planning in secret, all of the secrets of your heart and my heart today, God knows. You're not keeping any secrets from God. God knows. We'll just drop that right there for now, all right? So every time they launched an attack, the prophet is warning the king of Israel. So the king of Syria says, all right, then the only way we're going to defeat Israel, first we've got to eliminate this prophet. Okay? So he says, somebody tell me where the prophet is so we can go get him. They find out that the prophet, whose name is Elisha, and he's in a city by the name, or a town by the name of Dothan. And so the king says, cool, let's take our army down to Dothan. We'll capture the prophet. Then we can conquer Israel. So the army of Syria amasses around this town of Dothan. Okay, the whole army of the Syrians, they've surrounded this town. And the servant the prophet is there with his servant. It's just two of them. Okay, the prophet and his servant. Now, read with me here. Verse 15, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15. You got the background story now. It says, now when the attendant of the man of God, the servant who would take care of the man of God, who was traveling with him there. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to the prophet, alas, my master, what shall we do? Look at what he sees. He goes out of the city. He looks around and he sees the city is surrounded. The army of Syria has surrounded the city. And it's just him and the prophet. Just two of them. Versus the whole army of Syria. And so he says, alas, my master, what shall we do? Verse 16, the prophet answers, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Are you kidding me? He looks out and sees the army and he goes back in and he can count his army. 1, 2. And that's all there is. Or at least that's all the eye can see. Watch. Look at what happens. Then Elijah prayed and he says, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The prophet prays, and God opens his servant's eyes to get a glimpse into the realm of the Spirit, and he sees all around them the chariots of fire and the angel army of God that is sent by God to take care of the prophet of God in the face of this attack of the Syrian army. The spiritual realm was there. These spiritual beings were there. They were just out of sight because you couldn't see into the realm of the spirit. And I'm just telling you guys, the spiritual realm is real. It is here. It is around us today. And if God were to open our eyes, we would see around us today. We would see the angels of God. We may see a demon or two. But we would see into the realm of the spirit and know that there's more of us than there are of them, and that God has provided for us. And listen, what we see in the natural is not all there is. What we see in the natural is not all there is. There is a natural realm, but there is also a spiritual realm. And the forces in the spiritual realm are always at work to influence and inspire natural reality and natural situations. And listen, you and I need to, we'll pick it up next week. You and I need to learn this. We need to understand this. We need to be aware of this. We need to be on guard for this. But look, that doesn't mean we focus on the devil. We focus on the enemy. No, that's not what that means at all. We keep our focus on God, and God will give us. The prophet, his mind's on God. His mind's on spiritual things. His mind's on heavenly things. And it's how he knows what's out there, even though he can't see it. He knows God's there. And God's army is there for him. Brother and sister, listen. Life is good, okay? God is good. But the reality is this. Life's not a game. It's a war. It's a war. But it's a war in which we win when we walk it out with God. Let's pray together. Father, help us to see. Open our eyes to spiritual truth and spiritual reality. Open our eyes to who you are, Father. And help us to love and trust in you, knowing that you are always there for us, and even your angel army has surrounded us to keep us safe as we walk this life out in faith, in trust, and in love for you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We're going to pick that up right there in our Bible study next week and continue on. And I want to get into some things next week. I want to begin to get into some very practical things. We'll look at that armor one more time because those are practical things. But I want to look at some practical things that we can do to prepare and equip ourselves for the day of attack and the day of battle, and how you and I can walk out the victory that Jesus has already won. I shared with you last week, we fight from a position of victory. We're not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. Just to hold on to what God's already given, and God will provide. Amen. Before we're dismissed today, why don't you stand with me and we'll pray together. We'll be going to be dismissed in just a moment. Ed has already mentioned today that we are about to lose one of our little sisters here this morning. Lauren, would you join me up front, sweetheart? Yes, you have to come up front of the church. Lauren Martin has been with us for a couple of years now. I remember it's actually a little over 3 years ago that a pastor friend of mine contacted me and said, there's a missionary in Africa that I want you to meet. You really need to meet him. And I know you talk about spiritual things directing the natural. This is God putting all this together, okay? And this pastor says, there's a friend of mine that I want you to meet as missionary to Africa. And you have to understand, I get this kind of information all the time. Everybody wants me to meet somebody. And, you as much as you'd like to support everybody, you can't support everybody. But I said, all right, I'll consider meeting this gentleman. Just, let me know how we can work that out. Well, not long after that, I guess you were coming for a College for the Weekend or something experience. Yeah. And Jerry and Angie Martin and his precious children, Shane and Lauren, came to Lynchburg. She came for college for a weekend, and we got to meet the family. And we immediately fell in love with this family of just sweet and precious people who had given their lives to go to Africa and take the gospel to Muslim nations. And so over time, we were able to line things up financially where we could start supporting the Martin family, and we continue to do that. Lauren has been here now at LU. She's finishing up her third year at LU. She has a semester of, what do you call the teaching?
Student teaching.
Thank you, dear. Of student teaching that she's going to be doing in Carolina. And so effectively, when this semester is over, she's done with school here at Liberty. They're going to allow her to walk in a couple of weeks, but then she'll finish up her student teaching in Carolina in the fall and be done. So, and because next Sunday they're going to be gone, and then the following week walking and out of here. This is the last Sunday that Lauren is going to be with us until the Lord should bring her back this way for a visit or whatever happens. But I just wanted us to pray and thank the Lord for the Martin family and for the opportunity that we've had to spend with Lauren over these last few years together. So would you join me as we close today in praying with Lauren? Father, I do thank you so much for what you orchestrated in bringing the Martin family into our family at Victory Fellowship. I just thank you, God, for the love that they all share with us for you and your Son, for the work that they are doing for the kingdom of God. Continue to pray for your blessing and provision for Jerry and Angie and Ethiopia, and just ask you continue to open doors and give opportunities for them to minister there. But Father, I pray today specifically for my precious little sister here, God. I ask you, Lord, to just be with Lauren, and may your anointing fall upon her in a mighty way. And God, that you would show her your plan for her life. And Lord, maybe it's the same as her father and mother, or maybe it's something else. But whatever it is, Father, I just pray that you would reveal to her what your plan and purpose is. And as she moves forward, trusting you and listening to the voice of your Spirit, Father, I thank you that you're going to lead her and do amazing, amazing things in her life for the glory and the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for the years that we've had together here. Lord, we just send her out in order to be a blessing to the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for it in his name. And dear, I'm just going to ask you if you would come back with me and Becky at the back door. Just be sure everybody gets a chance to say goodbye to you before they go. Would you do that? Stop crying. Where do you like to eat? What's your favorite place to eat around here?
Oh, gosh. I don't know.
Think about it.
Okay.
Think about it, and we'll go get lunch.
Okay, all right? Sounds good.
Okay. Becky, why don't you take her to the back door, all right? Let's sing together. We're going to be dismissed this morning, guys. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. I will linger, I will stay in your presence day by day till your likeness may be seen in me. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Drive carefully on your way home. It doesn't look like it's raining right now, but the roads are still slick, so be careful out there.